The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at coopradio.org.
On today's show, we're talking to Kat Norris. She's an advocate and elder from Liaxin First Nation and Nez Perce, and has launched a project that's making masks for community members to keep ourselves safe during the COVID-19 pandemic, and also to build community through communal sewing project. And she's looking for volunteers. Thanks a lot for joining us, and I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with elders.
Hi, yeah, my name is Kathy Norris, but better known as Kat Norris, and I'm being called an elder, which a lot of us weren't sure about, you know, not sure about ourselves to have that honor to be called an elder. But I've accepted the title because it's not what I need, but a lot of our people need that, and a lot of younger people, and even people my age want an elder to talk to. So I've accepted that role, and I'm taking my mother's place. My mother is the elder in our family, and she's given me permission to do that type of work for our people, because she knows our people need that support and that help and someone to listen. So I do work with UBC, the Allard School of Law, and often, at least once a year, I'm called into the kinesiology graduating program of UBC. And I work with Red Fox Healthy Living Society, helping the kids with drumming and singing, and then their youth leaders, working with them to build up their confidence and the importance of getting involved and how that helps their self-esteem. Whoa. And also with Vancouver Aboriginal Health, I do a women's group. We talk and we learn about each other and learn about themselves. And I help by, involving them in the things I do, like the making masks, keeping busy, learning a new skill, which in itself just builds confidence. But we get to talking, and yeah, we end up having a lot of fun.
Well, tell me a little bit of how this mask thing started, because they're quite attractive masks, and you actually had a video showing in new designs you've been trying out. Tell me, what was the start of this project?
Well, it all started because, of course, a lot of us out there probably have had the idea, like, to learn to make masks just to help out somewhere, not knowing where, maybe. But I happened to bring a client into the clinic at the Vancouver Aboriginal Health Clinic, and he didn't have a mask, and so I asked the reception. I said, "Oh, do you guys have a mask for him? He doesn't have a mask." And they apologized profusely. They didn't have any more masks, and the ones that they had, they needed it for the doctors and for the reception. And they, so I went downstairs. I had an extra mask, and they gave it to him. And I felt bad for them, the clinic, because they couldn't, give masks. And they're waiting for a shipment that they had ordered, but it always takes a while.
Well, especially because there's such demand now. Everyone wants masks suddenly.
Yeah. And at first, I was walking by, "Oh, do you have an extra mask?" I would get a mask from them, and they were giving out masks, but not realizing that there would end up being a shortage. And, so by their generosity, they ended up in a shortage of masks, and even had to sort of be very careful with their own masks. So, and that's when I started thinking, like, well, I could learn how to make masks, so I looked at it. That's when I started watching all the YouTube videos and printing off patterns. So, because I don't do things small, I have to do things bigger, I put out a call out. If anyone wants to help out, this is when I'm going to be doing it. So we've had two ladies or three ladies come out and help with cutting and sewing. And once we started building up all the cutting and sewing, that's when I put out a video. And now we have a young fellow, he saw the video. He also works with Red Fox, by the way. So he's going to come out and help out on Friday.
So it sounds like it's really growing. And from the video, you've got pizza and you've got like a really nice opportunity. It seems like people are having fun and really connecting with each other. It seems like a community building opportunity.
Yeah. And we also have two volunteers. They can't hear, they're deaf, and also they can't speak, so they use sign language. And part of the really cool thing is not too many people have the opportunity to sit with someone who can't hear or speak. And so I introduce them, and I show our community members, you know, how easy it is to talk with them. They can read lips and use your hands, and so creating, you know, friendships that way already with a couple of the ladies who wouldn't normally be able to associate with someone who can't speak, you know, because, you know, we all kind of feel a little insecure around that. But now they've actually developed good friendships with these people. They're our friends on Facebook, you know, so we're growing a little community out there just by virtue of getting together and learning together.
Are they worried about, you know, all of the people wearing masks must make it very hard to like read lips and kind of tell when someone's talking to you?
Yeah, that is the issue. So when we're down here, we have big tables, so we ensure for social distancing. So after we're all settled in for a while, then we take off our masks, and so we're fine that way, you know. And so if the person who can't hear has trouble, the person talking to them will just simply, you know, lift their mask off to say what they want to say, you know?
Because you're already at 2 meters distance.
Yeah.
It must be hard, though. I mean, I'd love to hear more from some of those folks about how this is. We're all supposed to be wearing masks to be responsible when we can't distance. And it's just a terrifying world, I imagine, for people who already have some barriers that they work so hard to overcome.
Yeah, that I really feel for them, you know, and they've created these new masks where you can wear it over your face, but they're quite cumbersome and a pricier, $19 for one. And then they've created these other masks with the visible, you know, see-through around the lips. So we're just kind of wondering about which material they're using and if we can attempt to make our, you know, make these for the people that need, you know, that work or our friends or family with the non-verbal community or non-hearing community so they can read the lips. So that's our next venture after we finish this crop that we're working on right now.
Tell me about your current crop of masks. What do you kind of look for when you're making a mask, and tell me about the patterns and the design part of it.
I received gifts of masks, which I was very thankful for, and my son's friend's mother, and then the Phil Bouvier Center, which is a part of Vancouver Aboriginal Health. We were all talking, and I mentioned the pretty design on the masks that they brought over, and so they gifted me one. But what I noticed was a lot of the masks that people are making, when you try to talk, your mouth touches the cloth, and they're quite tight. Quite a few of them that I've had, and so it's just hung on my closet door. And I go back to using the Canadian Tire or London Drugs, you know, masks, disposable ones. And so what I started looking for were masks that where you can talk and not touch, so they're more breathable. Because some of them you can't breathe and you get so hot, so you keep pulling it off your face, which is why a lot of people, you see them pulling it off their face. Because it's hard to breathe, you get out of breath.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose, like if you're on transit or in a store where you can't be apart from people.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and you do feel a bit claustrophobic, even if you're not claustrophobic. So I wanted to find the mask patterns that were wider in the front and that said breathable masks. And so those are the ones that we're working on, are the breathable and masks that you can talk without touching your face. Because a lot of people and a lot of Indigenous people have wider faces and bigger lips. So we're trying to accommodate everyone. We're even making extra large. We're making our own extra large sizes, because a lot of the patterns that you find on Facebook, you printed out, they're more like the Asian sizes.
You made a joke in your video that's getting quite a lot of love and laughter on Facebook about needing to adjust your size and template for some Indigenous men's faces. not to generalize, but people were showing it some love.
Yeah, so when I start yakking at, you know, and that's the thing about getting older, I guess you get a little more honest. And so, yeah, so I want to make sure to accommodate that. So the medium Asian sizes are like a small, and then so the large is more like a medium. So we've made the large a medium, and then we've drawn outside, you know, added another, I think, half an inch or more than half an inch, so that we created an extra large, and hoping for the best that it turns out good. So far, so good.
And you've got some beautiful patterns. I love the variety, and you've got all kinds of different things. And tell me how you pick them.
Oh, yeah. So I happen to have like a stock of material, because I like to make bags. And then I went out to Canadian Tire as well. I went out to Fabricland and looked at their designs. So I thought, well, guys would like this color, and women. So it was sort of particular to gender, and then I used some of my powwow regalia material, and I donated that to make the masks. And then someone made a donation of men's shirts, and so that makes a good backdrop, because it's cool on your skin. And so, yeah, so just a mishmash of purchased, donated, and donated clothing.
What's your hope? What's your goal with this?
Well, what I'm hoping is, my main hope is that we get some donations of masks that people made. And equal to that is that more people will offer to help out. We need more actual sewers. And so I guess my biggest hope is to get more volunteer help of people that sew, so that they can work with the ones that don't know how to sew, you know. So,
and who gets the masks? Who are they for?
For clients that don't have masks.
So it's something to be able to give to someone, and they can keep it and wash it, right?
Yeah, you can keep it, wash it, just when you get home at night, just, you know, rinse it out with, you know, with warm water and soap, rinse it out, put it in your towel, and then hang it up. And they don't take too long to dry. So we're trying to find material also that doesn't stay wrinkled, you know, like, so we're trying to be very accommodating to the person who will wear the mask. So it's a lot of fun. It's very fulfilling, and it's become like this drive. And I only wish that it was a lot faster to make. Because in the videos, it takes them 5 minutes, you know. But that 5 minutes for us is like 20 minutes or half an hour.
Is that because you're yakking and eating pizza? Well, it's such a fun thing to do as a community, because, I mean, I have no sewing skills. And so, but, you know, so I've been kind of relying on a mix of like a dust mask with a handkerchief over it, like a bandana. But I'm reading the studies, and those aren't good enough, you know, maybe in combination. But I think a lot of us who are relying on surgical disposable masks are saying, if this is going to be with us for 2 to 3 years, as they're saying this week, maybe I need to up my mask game and not use the disposable one. So this is really encouraging to see people coming together around this.
Yeah. Cause not,
and get one that looks nice.
Yeah, get one that looks nice that you're proud to wear, you know, because it does make a difference. Because I... the other day, I grabbed one that I had grabbed from a pile, not our pile, but the material I didn't really like right away, the design, but I liked the size, so I chose that one. But I found when I'm out there and I'm conscious of the look and the design, it looks like I have a pipe around my face. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't wear that one again. So I'm going to wash it really well and then iron it out and then donate that one as well. So
yeah, I kind of have a rack on, instead of keys at my keychain rack at my door, I have three masks hanging. So I actually can reuse them by just going to the one, you know, because they believe that COVID sticks around for 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, I do the same thing. Yeah.
And, you know, you can wash them every week, they say, or every few days, but you can't be washing masks constantly. So it's kind of, we're all developing tricks.
Yeah, our own survival tricks. We've got some that are for the, like, hospital or clinic staff, because they tie around you can tie it as well as wear it around your neck. And so that's got the filter pocket. So, and adding the filter pocket to any mask takes a bit longer, but for those who want to wear a filter. And then I purchased...
And what could you use as a filter if people did want to make or get one of those kind of masks?
Yeah, you could use like a paper towel or a napkin. You can use, some say a coffee filter, you know, just cut it open, cut it in half, and use that, because all of these you can take out and dispose of. And then failing that, you can even put in toilet tissue. Anything helps, basically, or a thin piece of another material. Yeah, so pretty much you can use anything, just not plastic.
Right, no plastic, and they say nothing like loosely woven or fleece, because those things can actually disperse the droplets smaller.
Yeah, yeah, and they're very sweaty. Like, polyester material is very hot and sweaty. Yeah, so we're using mostly cotton material.
Mm. And so is there one thing that you tell to a listener who kind of wants to learn how to make a mask themselves, that's the thing you've learned from buying material? Like, what is the one thing you need to look for if you want to make a mask?
Well, if you want to look for a mask, I mean, to learn to make a mask, look for the words breathable, and look for ones that actually, where you can print off the pattern. And if you don't have a printer, you know, like a lot of the 24-hour corner stores have a printer, and you can print off the pattern. And so a printable pattern, and look for the words breathable and easy, like easy pattern. And watch many patterns. I mean, watch many videos, because one video, the person will talk all the way and tell their whole life story, and you kind of lose interest by the time they're, you know, you get into the actual process. But some of the videos just have music, and you follow them along. And some are very concise and explanatory. So, yeah, you'll find one, but you have to search until you find the right one.
As a elder and as someone involved in the indigenous communities around our city for some time, I wondered if you could talk about what this pandemic has taught you. What's something that you're learning from and are going to take into the future?
Well, yeah, I thought about that at one point, because I heard the question somewhere, and I thought about what have I learned. And I think the biggest part of it is I've really learned, you know, like, to appreciate my family, because we weren't allowed to go into my son's building. They weren't allowed to come into our building. And so it's like you take getting together for granted. And so, you know, if we ever can really get together again, you know, I'm going to really, just really appreciate that and the quality time, because so many people are losing people, whether it's to the illness or to overdoses or accidents, and they can't go visit their families in the hospital because of this COVID. They can't, you know, have extended family to the funerals, you know. So, you know, basically just really learning to appreciate and love your family and show your love when you have the opportunity. And also another part of it is, I was so concerned about my health, you know, my health and welfare to this, and it makes you quite fearful. But then I had to realize that I also have to think of others, you know, because with this disease, you know, I might not be ill, but where did I just come from? So when I went to my mother's on the island, you know, I changed my clothes and I had a quick shower, because coming from Vancouver and then on the ferry, I had to stop and think, like, I don't want to bring anything to my mother because I might be carrying something on me. So it's taught me to be more mindful of others.
Mm. I hope it's taught the rest of that too. Sometimes I worry about society not caring for our elders and our most vulnerable. And then I hear your story and see other people really stepping up, and it gives me some hope again that people are stepping up and caring.
Yes, yes, exactly. And we have to we're showing our caring in a different way, you know, and it's more tangible, like with the mask making. It's something that we can offer to help others who, you know, like it's $10 a 10-pack for the masks, and not everybody has that money. So if we can, you know, give them something that they can stick in their pocket, you know, and wear when they go out anywhere, they just have to wash it out. If we can help, you know, save someone from getting sick, you know, we've done our job. And having the ladies come together, I really appreciate that they want to help out, you know, that they... You know, I haven't forced anyone to come out, and I'm so thankful, and which is why I order the pizza and, you know, bring the snacks. That's my way of saying thank you. And, yes, I wanted to take this time to thank those out there, because there's so many groups out there, I believe, that are, you know, making masks and helping others. And it would be nice. It's just too bad that we couldn't all get together, you know, because I know some are afraid of coming to help out because of this virus. But I want to know that we're being as careful as we can.
Well, thank you so much, Kat. It's great to talk to you again, and stay healthy and safe.
Yeah, thank you. And you can I give a phone number for those who want to help out?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so if you want to help by donating masks or donating a little bit of time on a Wednesday or Friday, you can give a call to 604-254-9060, and that's at the Vancouver Aboriginal Health Clinic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, take care.
And that was Kat Norris.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.